Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our worship by singing the doxology, which is number 549. The doxology, number 549. Worship is hymn number 711. Let all the earth worship the Lord. Let all the world's citizens fear. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I would walk in your truth. Inspire my mind to worship your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. I would praise you, O Master my God, with all my heart, and honor your name forever. Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life. How numerous are your deeds, O Lord, and all of them done with such wisdom. Your activity fills the earth. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 458. Jesus, keep me near the cross. 458, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to come and worship together in this chapel. And Lord, we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives. Lord, you know what they are. And Lord, we do not pray out of repetition, but we pray because we want to have communion with you, God. We want to have better insight in our lives from you, God. We want the Spirit of God just to emanate from our lives so that we can take each step in faith, trusting you in everything that we do. And Lord, we know that you hear our prayers, and we praise you for that. Because we are praying to you, God, because we want our hearts to be open to the things that you want us to learn. And Lord, we are so appreciative of the time that we have together, the prayers that we offer, the hymns that we sing, the scriptures that we read together, and the fellowship that we have with you, God. And Lord, we come before you with the needs and requests that we have. Lord, we are just so thankful that you do hear our prayers. And we realize in our individual lives that there is no need too small or need too big that you cannot handle. But God, we doubt in our lives. We have trouble trusting you. We need to have our faith restored every time we reach out to you. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to do that for us, because we do want to trust you, and we do want to have faith in you in all things. God, we think of the family members and friends that we have. We lift them up to you in prayer. We think of the patients throughout this medical center, the staff that are working here today, the family members that will be visiting. Lord, in the same way, we'd ask that as we pray for them, that you would also give them the trust and the faith that they need to have so they can take each step in your will. And Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 445, "More About Jesus I Would Know." Number 445, "More About Jesus I Would Know." Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are just so thankful for this time that we have. And Lord, we just pray for your continued blessing upon us as we desire to understand our daily walk with you more and more. Help us, God, with that understanding. In Christ's name. Amen. So how many of you this morning are not content in your circumstances? Be honest with me. How many of you are not content in your circumstances? I would have to say that even though I just read this portion of Scripture and I'm going to be doing a sermon on contentment, that there are things in my life that I would have changed a little bit if I could. Maybe not a whole lot, but I am not content about everything that is going on in my life. And I believe that kind of sums up the direction that we're heading this morning, that all of us, we want to have contentment, and we search daily to find it. We look to find that satisfaction that we know in our own personal lives that just circumstances just can't seem to make it happen. We all want that satisfaction. Does anybody remember that song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction"? Am I dating myself with that song? "I Can't Get No Satisfaction"? And I think all of us struggle with that because I think all of us want to have that contentment that is mentioned here this morning in the Scriptures. That satisfaction of who we are individually in our walk with God. And it is a struggle. And the first thing I think we need to admit to ourselves is that there are times that we want more. We want to have satisfaction that the world just cannot seem to provide to us. That our circumstances, this doesn't make it with us. We can't seem to have the satisfaction. Even though we have a lot of things going on in our lives that are good, that are positive, we are just searching for that other thing. That one more thing that we think will give us satisfaction and contentment. But yet we can't seem to find it. It appears to be elusive. But yet the Scriptures here this morning tells us that we can find that elusive contentment. An understanding that regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of whether we are in need or regardless of whether we have a lot, that there is only one person in our lives that can give us that contentment and that satisfaction. And that is our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But yet, as I say that, and I just admitted to you by the raising of my hand, that I am just not satisfied with the circumstances in my life. And that is a struggle. It is a struggle for me. Because I never seem to be just quite satisfied. I want that next step. I want that next thing. And we've talked about here in the chapel the whole idea of patience and what that means to be patient. And I think patience is a part of contentment that we need to put in there when we understand, as we are looking for our own personal desires and our own personal satisfaction, that I can't get no satisfaction. One of the reasons is I have found in my own personal life is that I just haven't been patient enough to see the things that God has given me. And so I think contentment, if we are truly seeking it, if we truly desire it, if we truly want to have that satisfaction, we need to acknowledge the many blessings that God has given us in our lives. And we need to say thank you. Thank you for the things that you have provided for me today. And I think there's an immediacy in terms of understanding the whole idea of contentment and satisfaction. that we need to be thankful this morning for what God has given us. We need to be thankful for the relationships that He has provided for us. We need to be thankful for the circumstances that we are in today, right now, this morning. And when we do so, I think we have a sense of contentment, a sense of satisfaction that the world could not provide to us. Because it is something spiritual within our own lives so that we can have contentment, something that reaches beyond who we are in Christ, something that goes beyond the relationships that we have with each other, but is transcendent with our relationship with Jesus Christ, that gives us that contentment. Because what is your desire this morning? Is your true desire to have the best fellowship that you can have with God? Is your true desire to really want to commune with God spiritually and to see God reveal things in your life that you've never saw before, even though it might require you to change something that you are doing in your life? Is that your true desire? And I think when we look at what our desires are looking for, we see where the whole idea of being satisfied and being content can happen to us if we think about what are we thinking about. If we are only thinking about ourselves and what we can get out of this life and not thinking about the life that God wants us to have in this life. And I think also to go beyond that, to think about the life that God has waiting for each and every one of us in eternity. And I think if we put our perspective in the correct way, spiritually, we can see the satisfaction that God wants us to have. We can see that contentment that God wants us to have. Because it is not based on our environment. It is not based in the situation that we are in. It's not based on our fleshly nature. And the scriptures have told us that once we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, that old nature is put away and we take on that new nature that is in Christ. And that new nature that we have in Christ should be based on contentment. But yet we know we struggle with that because we live in a competitive environment. I come from a competitive family. In fact, we joke about different things in our own family today in terms of who has the highest score doing this and who's the first to do this. And who graduated first in this. So we have that sense of competitiveness within our own families. We brag about the things that we do good at. We brag about when we're even playing Go Fish, right? There's a little competitiveness there. And even when I play Go Fish with my grandchildren, I have to be careful that one of them is not looking at my cards or one of the other kids is not looking at their other. You see those things that happen. We're laughing about that, right? But we have that sense of competitiveness. We want to win. And we think that the only way that we can find that contentment and that satisfaction is by winning. But the scriptures tell us that is not the case. The satisfaction happens when we win in our relationship with God. And we are on a winning team. If I have to quantify that in terms of our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you and I are a winning team. We've already had the victory. God is just allowing us to play the part in that victory that has already been won. And in that sense, we can see the desire that we have, that we want to pursue the things of God, if we realize that we are on the winning team. But yet there's always those distractions that we have about wanting a little bit more about this, maybe a nicer place to live, maybe an increase in salary, maybe a better benefit here, a better relationship with this. But yet I think that is something I know that I will struggle with. But as long as I understand where my true contentment is, where my true satisfaction is, that more times than not, I will be walking with God. That should be my goal. And I suggest to you this morning that should be your goal as well. is that we realize that there were going to be circumstances that we're going to want more. But yet we need to understand that that wanting does not come from God. That wanting comes from the old nature of our lives that has been put to death, that is no longer there. And it gives us the proper perspective that God wants us to have. And so we see the sense within our own lives that we look at the circumstances, we look at other people in our lives, and we look at what they've been able to accumulate, what they've been able to have. And as we make those unfair measurements that we do to others, we do that, right? If you have family members, you measure how you're doing with how they're doing, right? And in some families, at least in the families that I'm a part of, there seems to be a pecking order in terms of who's doing what and how much wealth has been accumulated. And we measure each other based on that type of scale. But God says, no. We should never measure each other on the accumulation of wealth or position or power, because that is not the scale that God measures us. God measures us based on how much we reach out to Him in prayer, how much we are willing to serve God, how much we're willing to say, yes, God, I am so thankful for the circumstances that you've given me, and Lord, I know that you've blessed me so much. And Lord, I just want to do your will more each day. And I want to serve you more each day. And I want to put my selfish desires aside. And I want to live for you. I want to show love and compassion to other people. I want to be able to give in such a way that I've never been able to give before. That's the scale and measurement that God wants us to have. It's not based on the things in this life. It's based on those things in our internal lives that are measured by the external things that we believe in terms of our faith in God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is something there that we need to consider, because when we do that, that satisfaction that we will have will really surprise other people, because they're going to say to you, how are you satisfied with your life compared to other people you have accounted for in their eyes, maybe nothing? Maybe in that circumstance, they see you and they see a contentment, and maybe they are a little envious because you've found the peace that passes all understanding, that the things that they've been able to acquire just don't measure up. Just don't measure up in our lives. But you've found that peace. You've been able to overcome things in your life because of the power of God and the Holy Spirit and your relationship with Christ. And you've been able to pick up those things in your life, and you've been able to move forward, and you've been able to achieve things that nobody thought that you could ever achieve, because they thought somehow that you were a loser. But you found a winning relationship in Jesus Christ. You found the victory in your life that you've been looking for, that you finally have found. And those people that look at you now, they're like, wow, who is this person? I don't even recognize them anymore. They seem to have a whole different attitude about life. And that is reflective in the contentment that you have. The contentment that God has given you. And there is a process in terms of understanding how we can be content, and we can learn to be satisfied in our circumstances. But the first thing that we need to realize is that we are going to have desires. We are going to have longings. But yet the scriptures remind us that in all of those circumstances that we are to be content, whether we have a little or whether we have a lot, and to learn how to balance that within our own lives, to learn how to humble yourself in all humility and to say thank you for the things that God has given you. And we do that by thanking God for the littlest things in our lives. Not just for the big things, but for the little things. Thank you, God, for the food that I ate this morning. Thank you for the place that I was able to sleep this morning. Thank you for the relationships that I have with the people this morning. Thank you, God, for allowing me to wake up this morning and for the most part be pretty healthy in mind, body, and spirit. Thank you, God, for that. And when we are thanking God for those things, it gives us the proper perspective that we need to have. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have that attitude. I was kind of like, oh, God, another Sunday morning, right? God, can something exciting happen to me today? How am I going to preach this morning? Because, Lord, I just don't have that feeling of excitement. Now, I do now since I've been preaching to you. But when I got up this morning, I had that blase, you know, that blase that you feel. You know, you're kind of like, oh, God, okay, another day. Well, how am I going to treat this day, God? What am I going to experience? I want something fantastic to happen. And God reminded me this morning that something has happened in a fantastic way. And something will happen to you in a fantastic way. Did you see the things around you that you can be thankful for? Not just the possessions, not just the things that we have, but the people that we love and the people that love us. And we embrace them. I found myself being humbled in those circumstances, understanding that, God, the contentment that you've given me comes only from you and my relationship with Christ. And forgive me for desiring something that I know can never be satisfied except in my relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. And then I found myself being inspired. I found myself, as I was getting ready for the service this morning, saying, thank you, God, for the opportunity that I have to come and just to share what's on my heart with others. Thank you, God, for the responsibility that you've given me. Even though there are times, God, I just don't want to have that responsibility. But I want to thank you for that, God. I want to thank you for the people that you've put in my life that have just confirmed the relationship that I have with you, that show and that demonstrate the love that you have for me, God. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, God, for all of the imperfections. I thank you for the mistakes that I've made, because when I truly embrace those mistakes, I see the learning that can take place in my life so that I can draw closer to you. I thank you for those imperfections, because in that imperfections that I see around me, I see the love, God, that you can comfort me through the Spirit of your presence in my life. And I thank you, God, for the way that you challenge me, the way that your Holy Spirit pricks at me, the way that you get my attention to say, no, I don't want you to live this way, I want you to live that way. And you challenge me, God, to live better. Not because you're trying to punish me, God, but because you want me to have more peace. You want me to have more enjoyment from my life. And that's really what it's all about. When it's all said and done about the contentment that God wants us to have, the satisfaction that you and I long for each day, it comes from the fact that God wants to be in control of our lives in all of those circumstances. Somebody texted me the other day about some changes that have happened in our world, and they texted me a little message about how is this going to influence your situation and how this is going to change your situation. And I responded back, God is in control. And then I put the word right and then the word question mark. And that person responded to me in the same way. They said, yes, God is in control. So when we look at the sense of being discontented with our lives, when we look at and examine our emotions, when we are unsatisfied with our circumstances, God wants us to look up to Him. And He wants us to ask a question of ourselves. Is God in control? Do you take that step in faith, understanding that God is in control of your life? Because if we answer that question, however we answer it, is whether we have contentment or whether we have discontentment. Whether we are satisfied or whether we are unsatisfied. By just asking that one basic question. And I have to ask God to forgive me for this morning, because my initial response was, God, I know that you're in control, but there are times that I just don't believe it. And I want to see it. And God responded, I am in control. And I will give you the vision and the insight to see that I am in control of all of those circumstances. And in that moment, as I share with you, there was a spirit of contentment and a spirit of satisfaction that I cannot explain to you, other than the fact that unless you've been there, unless you've experienced the power of God working in your life, you would not be able to understand. But I believe all of you here have had that experience when God gave you the vision to see that He is in control of all of your circumstances. He gave you that spirit of contentment, that spirit of satisfaction that no one else can explain, but just happens when we are totally honest before God and all the things that are taking place in our life. And He gives us that purpose and that faith and that strength to do all those things that God wants us to accomplish, not for our own will, not for our own desires, but for those things that accomplish the will of God in our lives and in the lives of others. God wants us to have that contentment, and He wants us to have that contentment every moment of every day. And that should be our goal, understanding that God is in control. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And it is a wonderful time when we do that to know that God truly is in control. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have reminded me and that you've reminded all of us that you are in control of the circumstances in our lives. And God, I know that many times I have messed up those circumstances. I've made poor decisions. And I take responsibility for that. Forgive me, God, when I have not put my total trust in you. And Lord, I am just so thankful that you do forgive me. You do give me that sense of contentment that can only come from a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive me, God, when I have not trusted you fully and I have wanted to take control of those circumstances. Thank you, God, for allowing each and every one of us to come and to remember that we all have that contentment through your Son Christ and what He did for us on the cross. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen.
I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 457. My hope is built on nothing less. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have provided each and every one of us the direction that you want us to walk in contentment and in satisfaction with you. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to understand that in all of the circumstances that we are in, that you are in control of our lives and you are there to help us. You are there to help us to overcome the challenges that we're having, to have the insight and the vision that you want us to have, God, so that we can walk with you according to your will and purpose. Give us the strength to do that, because we can do all things through you and your Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us strength. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.